My name is Tim Dawson, and what follows is the unedited recording of an interview that I conducted with Jeremy Corbyn on the 14th of July 2017.
Thank you very much for agreeing to do this.
You're welcome.
That was an amazing election result. Mm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
When did you first have a sense of what the result might be that you felt confident about?
I go back before the campaign started. I always felt that we had strong support amongst people that were fundamentally quite alienated mm-hmm. from politics. I always felt we had a lot of strong support amongst young people, and I also thought that we should concentrate heavily on growing the electorate, mm-hmm. Which was what the first Obama campaign did in the United States. And many in the party were skeptical of this strategy, but I said, no, this is what I believe could be the case. And when the election was called, to be quite honest, it was a surprise to everybody. Mm-hmm. If anyone thinks they knew the date of the election, I think that's not correct. I'm not even sure most Tory MPs of the cabinet had a clue what was happening. So when it was announced, there was an immediate intake of breath, a slight sense of panic around the place, and then we got on with it, and we had a shadow cabinet meeting straight away, but was planned anyway, and I just said, look, now's the election, let's get started. And they said, oh, we need this meeting and so on all afternoon. I said, no, I'm going to Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we're due to meet a group of carers in Birmingham, so I went to do that. And then we got heavily on the campaign trail straight away, and I realised that even the next day there was something strong in the air. At a couple of hours' notice, we had a street rally in Croydon, and 500 people came. Mm-hmm. And that weekend, I went to Manchester in the northwest, and we had a huge attendance at what was meant to be a small session for canvassing in Crewe. Mm-hmm. They hadn't even selected candidates for then, so I felt there was something in the air. We then worked very hard on voter registration, which was very effective. 2 million people registered to vote. 2 million more people mm-hmm. registered to vote during the first 2 weeks of the campaign. And the manifesto was the fundamental game changer, because we didn't have great results in the council elections mm-hmm. on the 4th of May.
They were the 4th of May,
I think it was. And we dealt with that by me going straight out campaigning. We had a rally in Leicester the next day, which was hugely oversubscribed. A lot of people waiting outside who couldn't get in. And that, I think, was almost the last indoor event we had. After that, it was all outdoors. And the numbers grew. But the manifesto was then produced about a week after that. And this is real tribute to Andrew Fisher and the policy team, who, from a standing start in 2 weeks, produced a historic and readable document. Readable is the key. I think all journalists would accept that. And so as the campaign went on, also strategically, coming from behind is a powerful position to be in. As every football team knows, defending a lead is very difficult. But whereas if you're campaigning, we pushed very hard on all of that. And I like being out talking to people. I like being out meeting people. I like being out on the road doing all that. And we did 100 events in 6 weeks and traveled the length and breadth of the country many, many times. So probably one day off in the whole 6 weeks, maybe one and a half, you know. But it was what was good was the sense of the atmosphere. And when I looked at the crowds, there were two or three standout events. One of them was the rally on the beach in West Kirby, mm-hmm. which when somebody said we're having a rally on the beach in West Kirby, I sort of said, is this really a good idea? And somebody was talking about bringing a horse to the rally and stuff like that. I thought, what? Apparently there was a horse going up and down the beach with Vote Labour all over it.
That's a new approach.
A new approach, yes, from the horse's mouth. And we had 10,000 people there. And then I went to World Live after that with the Libertines. the music festival. Mm. And then the rallies, we had just a lot of them. And then looking at the crowd, that was the significant thing. They weren't of a type, they weren't of an age, they were everything.
I want to ask you about some sort of media related issues. Actually, I was interested in what media you'd sort of liked through your life. I hadn't realised that you'd worked as a journalist yourself until Sian told me.
Yeah.
So what, that was right at the start of your
In Shropshire, I worked on a local paper. And when we went to Telford for the National Association of Head Teachers, I went to see the Shropshire Star, because that was they now own the paper that I worked for, the Newport Market Drayton Advertiser. And they dug out copies and so on, but they missed the significant one, which they only discovered about 2 weeks ago, which is a picture of me in 1967 at a Young Socialists' annual, first and only annual dinner they had, with then Anthony Greenwood, a cabinet minister, speaking, and I was speaking on behalf of the Young Socialists, and it's got me standing there looking ever so serious at the age of 18 with two young women.
and
one of whom I'm still in touch with, who came to the Telford rally.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And what, I mean, what media would have you, I mean, you know, would you have naturally looked at that time? What would have been yours to go to, either papers or broadcasts?
As a child. My mum took The Guardian, Manchester Guardian and Guardian, I delivered Sunday newspapers.
Right.
So I read them all.
Good.
Read all the Sunday papers. I delivered them round the villages where we lived on my bicycle. Most inefficient form of newspaper delivery possible. It was like I would cycle 9-10 miles every Sunday, delivering probably 100 papers or something. It was very sparsely populated, spread out place. And if somebody then got in touch to say they wanted the Sunday Times delivered right up some long farm track, oh God, you know, that's a mile to take the Sunday Times. Even then it was a heavy paper.
It's always been the heaviest, I think.
It's always been the heaviest, yeah. And so I used to read all the papers that way.
And I know, I mean, there are a lot of people among your supporters who make a lot of noise about bias in the BBC. Is that something that worries you?
I just go on to the wider media thing, come to that. On support for Labour is highest amongst youngest people, lower amongst older people, as a general. Although, obviously, there are.
So 45 is the predictive cutoff point.
Sort of. The fulcrum. The support is highest amongst those that access news via social media, which fits in with the young generation point. Lowest amongst those that access only newspapers, which fits in with the oldest demographic. And more balanced amongst those that primarily access television news or radio news, which is mainly the middle-aged. And I think the print media, I've not been particularly fair to me or to Labour. The broadcast media vary greatly. We have had issues with various parts of BBC broadcasting, although I'm a strong supporter of the BBC charter and a licence fee that will fund it properly, and I don't think it should be top sliced, but we'll come on to that in a moment. In the election campaign, what fundamentally changed was we had a very intensive use of social media, and a very good social media team working extremely hard on that. And the broadcasting rules mean that instead of talking about political process, we got more of a hearing, and more of our policies were debated and discussed, and that was able to shift the focus of the debate. I also have a policy which I do get a huge amount of personal, frankly it's abuse, in a lot of the newspapers. I don't reply, don't respond, don't engage.